In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. My name is Kevin.
My name is Simon, and I was on time tonight.
I'm Daniel.
I am the intern, and I hate the airport.
And we're back for episode 202.
Yeah, some strange things happened this week, Kev.
Yeah, like what?
James Gunn getting fired kind of shocked me.
That was from out of left field, for sure.
Because I don't know. I mean, I read the tweets. They were a little out of line, but he already apologized.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
I don't know. So, I mean, let's give a little backstory. Basically, in 2007, 8, 9, James Gunn tweeted some stuff that was not funny, and he was attempting to be funny. A lot of the jokes are about things related to, like, pedophilia and things like that. And some people explain the context of some of the jokes and that he was making fun of another director, James Pria, who was convicted for having child pornography. So he was on a panel with him, and he was making fun of him and posting stuff about pedophilia. Anyway, that all came to light that he had done that when the first Guardians film came out. And it was addressed, and he apologized at the time for it. But a conservative commentator, the intelligent individual who brought up the Pizzagate fantasy that Hillary Clinton was doing something with a pizza parlor and killing people or something like that. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, he said, oh, I found these tweets from James Gunn, who hates Donald Trump, and he is an awful pedophilia person, and look at what Hollywood has. And so Disney fired him instead of it, even though it had been addressed and he'd apologized for it, and he hadn't done a single thing while in the employ of the mouse, they fired him.
And they already knew about it.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. So is it justified?
I'd say no. I don't have an issue with it. I mean, he apologized. He's being a dumb idiot. It's pretty evident. He should have deleted them off his Twitter.
Right.
Last time he apologized.
We probably all treated him bad taste at times, right?
Yeah,
not like that, but...
So contextually, James Gunn used to work for Troma.
Yes.
And he directed Tromeo and Juliet and some other films, and... The senses, the humor in the Troma films is definitely off-color.
Yes, it is.
And he was trying to be funny and controversial as the director of those films to fit with the policy of Troma. Trying to be sort of a comedian and say silly things. But during the whole time that he worked for Disney on the Guardians films, he was perfectly fine. He never posted anything at all like this. So it gets to the point where there's a big question of can a person change, and can you fire someone for something that they did when they weren't in your employ that you were already aware of?
I'd argue no, you can't. You can sue them. I don't think you'd have a problem.
I think he has grounds to sue them, for sure. Are you guys...
I'm here. Go.
Sorry, I'm here. Yep. Sorry, you disappeared. Someone tried to call me on my other line here.
Oh, wow.
I can't answer it. I don't know. I think they're wrong. I don't think they should have fired him. I think that the conservatives were getting whipped up and saying, you got to fire this guy. And I think their response should have been, you know what? We were aware of these when we hired him. And we've addressed this, and we feel that, he's grown and he doesn't do this anymore. So, bite us.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They already knew about it, and, like, they're just giving in to this guy and his, like, fan base, right?
Yeah, but what's happened is that he's gone onto some conservative sites, and they've picked it up. And so the people, because he's anti-Trump, James Gunn, the conservative news sites were picking it up and saying, James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy, has tweeted some really inappropriate things. Well, it doesn't matter that these things were 10 years ago. And in context, you know, they're pretty bad. Some things are really awful. So yeah. I just think that Disney was, or certainly people at Marvel were aware that this was in his past as it had come up and they had addressed it. And I think that was enough. Why bring up old ancient history? Is it going to be every time someone brings up something negative, even though it's been brought up in the past, someone's going to suddenly fire somebody for it?
It seems that way, to be honest with you.
Now, quite a few people said this had to do with Roseanne and the firing of Roseanne and her tweets.
Okay.
But Roseanne said a lot of crappy things before ABC brought her back for the new Roseanne. But they fired her when she posted racist stuff when she was in their employ.
Correct.
And I think that's justified. She's a representative of the company. So James Gunn, when he tweeted that stuff 10 years ago, didn't work for Disney. Had nothing to do with them. And they hired him, brought him in. He made them a lot of money. And he was a perfect gentleman the entire time that he worked for them and never did anything off-color. So you can't really punish somebody for something they did when they weren't in your employ. I mean, I think they stated it as he's no longer working on anything for them and they have severed their business relationship with him.
Yeah.
I think they overreacted.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think what's happening... Sorry.
Oh, sorry, you can go ahead. Don't worry.
I think Bob was about to say something.
All I said was same. I agree with you guys.
You're now starting to see...
I apologize for it.
And you're seeing celebrities that he works with step forward to say, this is unacceptable. Like Dave Bautista's already stepped forward and saying, this is not right.
Oh, yeah, true. That's exactly what I was going to say, actually.
Yeah. And Selma Blair made a statement today saying, I know James Gunn, and he's not the same guy. And this is crazy that they're letting him go for stuff that he did when Guardians of the Galaxy wasn't even in the agenda for Marvel. So, and I think you'll start to see Chris Pratt and a couple other people maybe step forward and start to say things. Maybe will the mouse recant? I don't know.
I think he has to.
Yeah, I hope so. Because, I mean, for film quality, I mean, I don't think Guardians 3 would be very good without him.
Well, I mean, he was writing the script, and it was set to go start shooting in the fall, so I'm assuming that's now off the table.
Shit.
So we may not even see a Guardians 3, or if we do, it'll be radically different.
True.
And we may not see some members of the cast return for it.
Well, then Disney's got to deal with that.
Like, tweets from 10 years ago are throwing a wrench into, like, their new phase.
Right.
I feel like they would recant it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I just think it's this kind of world that you get fired for stuff that you did 10 years ago. Well, people change. Get over it.
Well, now, if it was a case of actual pedophilia and people were coming forward to saying, James Gunn touched my wee-wee and, you know, I think he should be locked up, I could completely
understand
that.
I agree, but they're not saying that.
Right, like the Kevin Spacey stuff. You know, and the studio separated themselves from it almost right away. But this is more like, I don't know, I would have talked to a lawyer before I did that, you know.
Yes.
I really don't think they did. I think they just, someone in the PR department made a decision out, and I'm assuming they had to talk to Kevin Feige and other people. Some people did suggest to me on my Facebook wall that perhaps they had other reasons to get rid of him, in which case this is ingenious or disingenuous. They're lying, essentially, to cover up the fact that they just don't want to work with him.
I don't know. I think he should be rehired. As far as what I know, I'd say he's rehired.
Mm-hmm. I think it is with this new thing of all the accusations flying around that they did just jump the gun on this. Oh, crap, that was a pun.
Yeah, that's true. He made a joke. He didn't even know it. You know, and his brother is basically saying, you know, it's sad. You know, I hope that people enjoy the Guardians movies and understand that they came from a good place. And it was a journey for James as well, in which he learned to be a better person as he worked on these films. And I actually think the guy's he's a great guy. He's never shown any indication that he's a jerk or a pedophile or anything like that. He's got a wife. He's been a perfect representative for the company the entire time he's worked for them. He may hate Trump, but that's not unusual, especially while Trump commits treason on, with the Russians on TV this week. It's just like, I don't know. It's a weird business that they're in right now. So Me Too's really changed the face of everything.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to something a little more positive, I guess.
All right.
It's the week of San Diego Comic-Con. I think it's over now, or maybe a few hours left.
I think when we're recording it now, it has just wrapped up.
So a lot of trailers come out in San Diego. I mean, Kevin, you're a big trailer guy. Dan is, and I think Bob is too, to a point. So I will do my best not to listen to you guys and to discuss San Diego trailers, please.
Sure. Well, I guess the big ones were from Warner Brothers, because Marvel wasn't at this one. Or at least Marvel Studios wasn't. So we got Aquaman and Shazam. And I don't know who on the team has seen those ones.
I haven't. I've seen them.
You haven't yet? What did you think, Daniel?
Is the Godzilla one Warner Bros? Or is that a... No, that's Legendary for sure.
It's Legendary, which is actually Warner Brothers puts it out, but...
Oh, okay.
It's a different... I meant more DC Universe.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Aquaman, I'm not a big DC fan, but it looks pretty good. I really like the look of it, and I really like Jason Momoa, too.
Mm-hmm. I think he definitely is carrying the picture. This is his star vehicle.
Yeah, and it's going to be cool to see more of Amber Heard's character, too.
It's always cool to see more of Amber Heard.
Exactly. for Shazam too, I love what they're trying to do, the comedy, and it's basically, I think it came before Big, but it's Big was a superhero movie, right?
Yeah, basically the concept is back to the 1940s, 41, I think, or 40. What struck me about both of these trailers is it looks like they're having fun. I mean, that's one thing that a lot of the DC Universe films up to this point haven't really had, that it's fun to be a superhero. There's something to it. You have powers and, you're exploring and, there may be other responsibilities in the case of Aquaman as a potential king of the Atlanteans and all that stuff. But he relishes his power and his abilities. And Shazam is basically, what if a kid had the ability to transform into an adult with superpowers? And, a lot of fun little bits where he can fire electrical bolts, he's walking through a mall, and your phone's charged, and then one guy's phone blows up. Little bits. Looked a lot of fun.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I only saw the 1 minute version of, Shazam.
Oh, okay. You should look into watching the 3 minute one.
Cause I love the part where he's sup, I'm a superhero. And they're coming out of the little corner store.
His friend says, you're bullet something.
Oh, you're bulletproof.
He says, you're bullet impervious. And he goes, you mean I'm bulletproof? Oh, yeah. Right on. He goes, you guys are dead. And then he apologizes for breaking the guy's window with a case of pop. Simon can't hear.
Simon's
out. So, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Did you see that one?
Yeah. Oh, and one thing about Aquaman, I love that he's like hitting those one-liners with "I mind if I come aboard." That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah, for Godzilla.
What did you think of Godzilla King of the Monsters?
See, I just watched the trailer once, but I love like the music that they have going through it.
Yeah, I think it's Debussy or something like that, or Debussy.
I'll agree with you on that one.
Classical.
Okay.
Did you catch all the monster cameos? Like, I don't know if you're a Godzilla buff or not.
No, I am not at all.
Okay, because we see in the trailer, we see Godzilla, but we also see Mothra.
Oh, that's what its name is. Okay.
And we see Rodan, which is a giant bird-like creature. And for just a split second, and we see him in ice, and then we see him out, King Ghidorah. There's like a three-headed dragon type of dinosaur.
Oh, my God. King of the Monsters.
I guess I need to watch this trailer again. Wow.
Yeah, it's worth seeing. It's impressive. To me, it's the scale I have an issue with, and that's the same. I had the same problem with the first Godzilla, the remake, is that when you're on the human scale, the giant monster scale is awkward.
True. Yeah, I was definitely paying more attention to the humans in this one, and Millie Bobby Brown looks great.
Right out of Stranger Things.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think what other major trailer. There was Glass.
Do you want to leave it against Simon?
M. Night Shyamalan, the sequel to Split and Unbreakable.
Yes.
As we see Mr. Glass, the Beast, and David Dunn trapped in a, like, it looks like an asylum of some sort.
Yeah, and Sarah Paulson, the psychologist, because they think for people who think they're superheroes.
Yeah, new class of delusion, people who think they're superheroes.
I love Split so much, so I'm really psyched for this.
Yeah, it looks good.
The color schemes too, and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks so great.
There was also a new trailer for Fantastic Beasts 2.
Oh, I did not watch that one.
Yeah, it's looks to be heavy CGI. Lots of Johnny Depp. And lots of Jude Law as Dumbledore.
Oh, okay.
And then they also had they did a thing with Venom, but they've kept the Sony Pictures had a Venom Spider-Man panel. The Venom one, they just talked about the film. There was some footage shown, but they didn't show. It hasn't been leaked online yet.
Okay.
What?
Basically,
what are they doing?
No, I know. Apparently, Venom bites the head off of somebody.
Wow.
And they basically revealed that the storyline is the Venom Lethal Protector comic, but with no Spider-Man in it. So he's fighting other symbiotes.
Do we know the rating yet?
It'll be an R rating.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. They also had a panel for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Did they?
The animated film that comes out later in the year, which looks really good. Looks like a comic book come to life.
Yeah, it does.
And apparently they revealed some additional spider characters that we haven't seen yet, like Spider-Man Noir, played by Nicolas Cage.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And we also see Spider-Ham. For the first time, so he'll be a big part of it.
Does whatever Spider-Ham can.
Spider-Ham.
Love
Spider-Ham. So in a world of cartoon animals, Spider-Ham is a pig, Peter Porker, who has become Spider-Ham.
Can't wait.
That's amazing. Did you see the Halloween panel when the guy like his life, because he remembered Halloween when his house was being broken into.
No. Nope.
He was able to survive that way. Yeah, so.
No, I didn't see that.
This guy, like, told a story that, when someone cut his phone lines and was in his house a bunch of years ago, he was able to, like, think of, like, oh, what would Laurie Strode do? And he was able to find, like, knitting needles and go out of his house, like, screaming and, like, going to the neighbor's house. Hmm. So it was actually, like, a pretty cool moment because, like, I think he broke into tears or something, and he got to hug Jamie Lee Curtis, and he only came to Comic-Con to see her and thank her, like, for her spirit, for helping save his life kind of thing. So, like, I thought that was a really cool, like, power of movies moment, you know?
Yeah, that's very cool.
Not a trailer, but it was cool. I liked reading about that.
So, all right. Well, I guess that was it for trailers, right?
I think that's more news for us.
There were some TV show trailers, like Flash and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there was the Titans trailer.
Yeah.
For the new story where Robin shows up and they said, "Where's Batman?" And he says, "F Batman." Which got everybody up in arms. Like, why would Robin do that? I don't know. We'll see what happens next, I guess. So, do you want to get into some movie reviews, guys?
Yeah, let's do it. Ant-Man and the Wasp, baby.
All right, we're starting with a small movie.
Small movie. Tiny, tiny movie.
Yeah.
Nobody saw this piece of junk.
Small heroes.
Small heroes.
Like less than $1 million, right?
Oh, something like that. I had a micro budget, from what I understand.
Micro, exactly. $75 million.
$75 million, nice.
I think something like that. I don't know. It only had, I don't know, Paul Rudd, Michelle Pfeiffer, Michael Douglas, Evangeline Lilly, Walter Goggins, Michael Pena.
Yeah.
Pena. Never heard of these people. Is there anything else?
No.
No. Okay.
Who wants to start? Who hasn't seen it?
Everybody's seen it.
Everybody's seen it?
Even Bob. Everybody's seen it.
All right. So, Bob, why don't you kick us off?
Okay. I thought it had lots of good comedy in it. Shrinking things and then expanding them as you're going through the streets of wherever it is, I guess.
San Francisco.
Thank you. It just hit right notes to me all the time. Like, I like the comedy. I like the chemistry between the cast and, like, shrinking things to the size of, like, the mini micro toys, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then
expanding them again, like a salt shaker.
Yeah, and then the Pez dispenser, the Hello Kitty one.
Yeah, that was good.
You've been pezzed.
And the fact that Paul Rudd's character can grow to, like, what, 60 feet? I mean, really? But he gets tired after that. Like, I guess it takes a toll on him.
It's exhausting, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Lawrence Fishburne and him are, like, comparing sizes. Like,
yeah,
how big they were able to get. That was pretty funny.
So I have a question. Do you think that if there's going to be a sequel, another sequel to it, will Lawrence Fishburne's character, because he was Bill Foster in the comics. I know you know, you already know that. Bill Foster in the comics, it became, like, another giant man or whatever.
He was Black Goliath.
Black Goliath. He might. Will he be in it again if there is a sequel?
Of course he will be.
So, yes, he's already committed to doing more Marvel movies. He's not sure if he'll be back for more DC movies or not, but he definitely has enjoyed being part of the Marvel Universe, and they have him tapped to play Bill Foster in future films. So
it's really cool. I didn't know that, actually.
No, I didn't, did I? But I really enjoyed it, so.
Cool. Daniel, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually, I really liked it. I love, like Bob said, I love the cast and the comedy of it and the humor. And, I also thought it was, like, interesting how, like, usually the superhero thing is, like, they save the world, right? And, and this one, they're just trying to get to the goal of getting the wife back, and they're just trying to avoid it from being, like, their goal being impeded with. And I just thought that was, like, cool how they turned that around for this one. And I just think both anime movies have a lot of heart, which I really like.
Yes.
Miles and miles and miles of heart.
I thought it was kind of like, you guys ever see, like, Magic School Bus when they, like, shrink the school bus and go into, like, something?
Yes.
Like, that kind of reminded me of that when they had to go in to get the wife back. To Michael Douglas's wife back. It's a stupid connection, but that's what I made.
Okay, Kevin.
I loved it. I thought it was a great palate cleanser after Infinity War.
Not true.
True.
Infinity War was so much and so little time, even though it was a 2.5 hour film. This is more fun. It's lots of great moments between Scott Lang and his daughter, yep. Cassie.
True.
Lots of humor there. I think we talk about character growth. And I think that there's a lot, Paul Rudd, you know, he's still goofy, he still does his sense of humor, but I think he's become more responsible. We're coming in, he's been under house arrest for 2 years since the Civil War. And if he does anything superhero related, then he could go to prison for up to 20 years. So, and it's in his best interest to stay out of trouble. And literally the day before he's supposed to be let out of house arrest, he has a dream. And in the dream, he dreams about the Wasp, about Janet Van Dyne being trapped in the quantum realm. And it turns out that across town, at the same time, they'd opened up this quantum access tunnel. And so by doing that, the connection with the Wasp was reignited. And so they bring him out of retirement, and they have a creative way of keeping the feds from discovering that he's been let out with replacement ants that do his routine.
So
nice
good.
Little moments.
Come on, those moments were fantastic.
Yeah.
The ant in the bathtub for an hour, the ant playing drums.
Yeah.
They were great moments.
I thought the parole officer was pretty funny, too.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, and Jimmy Woo is an old Marvel character. He goes back to the 1950s. He was created by Stan Lee and Joe Manili for some stories in Tales to Astonish.
I didn't know.
Yeah, and he was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent as well in the 60s and led the Agents of Atlas in the 90s and 2000s. So he's a character that's got ties to the Marvel Universe as well. And there's all sorts of little moments, you know, the tie-in. I thought Walter Goggins was great.
Yeah.
He wants to get PymTech. He wants to make money on it. And so he's doing what he can to get access to Pym's lab, which can shrink down to the size of a suitcase. And so he wants all those gadgets so that he can become a character similar to the Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming. You know, access to tech, creating weapons, making money. I'm trying to think what else there is. And I think this may have a tie in some sense to Homecoming on that front, because there isn't an organization that's trying to create tech and use it as weapons to fund supervillains. I don't know. Again, all sorts of little moments. I'm trying to think what else. You know, the bits with the truth serum stand out in my mind. You know, this is so-and-so, he's created a chemical concoction that'll basically easy to manipulate, and then you'll tell us what we need to know. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a truth serum.
No, it's not.
It's not a
truth serum.
Yeah.
And then at the end,
it's like, it is truth serum.
If it walk like a duck and talk like a duck, eat a duck.
I still think my favorite joke in this is at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
When Scott and Jimmy Woo were talking, he goes, "What, you want to do dinner or something?" That's going to do it, and that broke me up.
Yeah.
that I thought the joke at the end of the movie makes himself giant man works, like the ant tub stuff works. I love the Hot Wheel case.
Yeah.
Pick a car, any car.
That was really great.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. I thought the car chase was amazing.
Yeah.
True.
I wish we had a little bit more time in the Quantum Universe, but I guess we're waiting for the next movie for that.
Yeah.
And we haven't touched on Ghost at all.
Oh, yeah, we hardly touched on Ghost at all. She's our villain, and we hardly... I thought she was a misunderstood villain.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought they characterized her really well, and just like you kind of you feel bad because like she wants to survive and everything, and even though because she could just ask with what she wants to do, right? But
well, and there's a whole history there where S.H.I.E.L.D. trained her to be a killer.
True.
Yeah. I like how she was healed too. Like when Michelle Pfeiffer has new powers that she has, and she heals her.
Well, she's been in the quantum realm for all those years, right? So
yeah.
And absorb the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, I thought Ghost was the more interesting villain than Walton Goggins, but I thought he played his part really well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys want to talk about that post-credit scene?
Sure.
About the ants drumming with the...
Come on, like, nothing wrong with ants drumming.
Well, okay, the ants drumming was great. And, yeah, well, about what you were saying about the parole officer, sorry, Jimmy Woo... Yeah, I love Randall Park. He's so funny. Yeah, the first post-credit scene is Cora.
So huge spoilers if we're going to talk about this.
Okay.
Massive.
Yeah, so, if you haven't seen it, turn off the radio and come back in like 2 minutes.
Or if you haven't seen Infinity War either.
Well, yeah, I think if you haven't seen Infinity War, it's your own problem.
Yeah.
True.
You're very faint.
I'm good. I'm here.
Okay, but when you're talking, you're very faint.
I'm weird. I can't help you. I don't know. I'll turn my mic up. There you go. It's up now.
So I'll talk about the first post-credit scene. Ooh, now I can hear my echo.
Yeah,
now we're good.
You guys told me to turn it up, so I did.
So Scott is going into the quantum realm to get energy for ghosts.
Yes.
And so as he's there and he's about to come out, Hope. Michael Douglas's character, Hank, and Michelle Pfeiffer's character. Thank you, Janet. So they turn into ash and disappear after Thanos snaps his fingers. And Scott's stuck in the quantum realm.
Right.
Which is really, really cool.
And thankfully, Janet says, watch out for those time vortices. Because if you get stuck in one of those, we can't help you out.
Uh-oh.
So I wonder, do you think that somehow time travel will be involved in Avengers 4?
Of course it will be.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be cool.
Guaranteed.
I saw a picture of Scott Lang from 4. I saw two pictures. Spoilers even further.
Wow.
One was he's on the street in San Francisco and there's litter and garbage all around. Like some major terrible event has happened. And Scott Lang has emerged into the future.
Oh.
Cool.
Oh.
Yeah. So word is that there was a casting of a teenage cast that 10 years have advanced in the Marvel Universe after the snap.
Okay.
Scott Lang.
You know how you're ruining things I'm really trying to avoid now, are you, Calvin?
Yeah, that's it. I won't talk anymore.
No more talking. We're done. We all liked the film. We all gave it a good score. Let's move along.
So apparently, when he's in the quantum realm and they disappear, Thanos' face can be swirling in the background. And then if you look, and this, well, we'll not be able to do this till it's on home video, but if you look closely in the backgrounds, you can see different events from the Marvel Universe happening.
Stop.
Sort of like
the
opening credit when the Marvel logo plays and you see different things happening. Yeah, but it's fainter and it's in red.
Now you guys have to watch it again.
Yeah.
Well, watch it too. Again.
Guys are killing me.
My theory is that he's going to emerge in the past and that's how he'll show up in Captain Marvel. But that's my theory.
Hmm. Okay.
And then he'll go back again and then go into the future.
Man, it's, I'm so curious how they're going to like go past this. It's awesome.
Can we go back to the future when there was dinosaurs, Kevin?
Back to the future when there were dinosaurs?
Yeah, can we go there?
It would be a fallen kingdom.
It would be. It would be Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, starring Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, Race Fall, Toby Jones, Ted Levine, Jeff Goldblum, and BD Wong.
Mm-hmm.
And Geraldine Chaplin. Can't forget her. I like Geraldine Chaplin.
Daniela Pineda.
Yeah, I don't care about her.
And she's... Justice Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care.
Who wants to kick this baby off?
Oh, I'll start. I'll go quickly. Okay. Why was this made?
Because Jurassic World made a lot of money.
I'm just getting to the point. Like, do something with this. This is not anything exciting to me. I've had enough. I like Jurassic World, the first one, and that's it. I like the first one this series. That was kind of cool, the reopening the park. I'm done. I don't need any more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't buy this relationship between Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. I didn't buy it the first one. I didn't buy it that. I like BD Wong. I like Ray Spall. I'm just not interested. Like, I thought the storyline was dull. I mean, I'm just, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm bored. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, Rice Ball's character really, it was weak. Like, the villains, even in this one and the last one, aren't that great. Did you guys like it? Or, because I think I might have been the only one who actually kind of liked it. But
I sort of liked it. I was sort of seeing where Simon could cut, was coming from on it. But, like, I still enjoyed it. There was different parts where they did different things. They moved it to another... the guy's mansion on is
awkward.
The guy that died. Grandfather?
The silent business partner from Jurassic World.
Yeah, from the original Jurassic Park.
Hammond's silent partner we've never heard of?
In there trying to escape. And she, isn't the granddaughter, she's a clone or something as well?
She is a clone.
I'm not the clone.
I'll just bang it over your head three times in the movie. Clone.
Did you know she's a clone?
Clone?
She wants to save the dinosaurs because she's alive like her.
Because she's a lot like her. She's a clone too, just like them. They're clones. We must save them.
I did like it, but that was the stupidest thing ever. Because I love the direction and like the haunted house kind of thing.
Let's back this up. The stupidest thing ever, you have a kid. He's outside in the backyard. The T-Rex comes and eats him.
When was that?
It's going to happen in the next movie.
Oh.
Because they released all these dinosaurs, right?
Oh, okay.
So think about all those kids you're going to get picked up by dinosaurs and eaten.
I thought I missed a scene in this one.
I mean, Bryce Dallas Howard, the little girl's dumb. All those kids are dead. Yeah. Is he going to clone them, too?
They're going to make more.
Like all these people that have little poochie dogs. Oh, look at my little doggy. My gone.
Oops.
Like, is that Jurassic World 3? Dinosaur ate my dog?
I think so.
I mean, where are we going with this?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like,
did anybody stay to the very end?
Yes.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
It was basically the pterodons are on a building in the Eiffel Tower building in Las Vegas.
Right. They're looking for little poochie dogs to eat.
Right.
I told
Easy
you
Easy prey.
And gamblers.
So here's the problem. Okay, me, you, Bob, and Thing are all walking down the street. Pterodactyl shows up. One of us is getting eaten.
That would be me, because I'm moving too slow.
Correct. Is that Jurassic Park 3?
Sure.
I'd watch it.
Is this just going to be a guy? We're going to watch Bob get neat. I'm sure he's going to like that. Are we just going to see a Godzilla movie here, Kevin? Why don't we just bring Godzilla and have King of the Monsters here instead?
Well, Godzilla is on a completely different scale.
But Godzilla won't be human. He'll just eat all these guys.
I don't know. Bob, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I think I agree with Daniel because I enjoyed it, but I also agree with Simon. I know that sounds like I'm on the fence, but I know where Simon's coming from with his opinion on it. But, like, I still, when I watched it, I enjoyed it, and then I thought about it later, and I'm going, oh, okay.
Okay, well, all right. I agree with you both in the sense that on one level, it is fine. It's a movie with dinosaurs in it, and they act like dinosaurs, and they do dinosaur things, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
I would say on that level, it's okay. But if you think about this film, it is infuriatingly dumb and ridiculous. And my first comment when I heard that they were doing this was, I really hope this is not a remake of The Lost World, where we have evil people trying to take dinosaurs to make them into weapons. And we do other things where we end up with dinosaurs running around in the real world, because I fear that that's where we're going with it. And because the first movie was basically a remake of Jurassic Park, but in the sequel mode where Jurassic Park is when we rebuild, then the dinosaurs go amok and reclaim the park. Everybody runs away. That's the end. So yep. Now we're back. So there's so many things wrong with this movie, though, that if you – like, all right, so first off, the big monster, the mega whatever, the – mesosaur or whatever it is, the thing that's in the water. It was in a sealed lake in the middle of the freaking island in the last movie. Now somehow his keep has been moved to the edge of the island so that he could escape in the very first scene. So they've had some, you know, they don't even care what happened in the last movie. It has to be by the water's edge so that we can make this happen. So we can have great scenes of it attacking spurs later on.
Yeah, they need that wave scene.
Somehow Bryce Dallas Howard, who is a stuck-up corporate shill in the previous film, is now an eco-warrior fighting to save the dinosaurs with a group of millennials for whatever reason. That, to me, was about as dumb a transition as any character in any of these films has made. Why would she suddenly want to save the dinosaurs? I can understand if she wanted to make money off of them again. That would make some sense. But anyway, so then she has to go create Chris Pratt. Okay, it makes sense. They need a guy who's an expert on the raptors to get the raptor. Okay, I buy that. I don't mind that part of it. But he's building a house in the middle of nowhere, and he's happy. Why would he want to go and rescue dinosaurs? He loves the dinosaur? Like, okay. They know that the dinosaurs are going to die. We've had Jeff Goldblum lecture us how they should die. They show up right at the moment when the volcano blows up. So that is really convenient, that 2 seconds after they get there, they die. So they can all do the dinosaur stampede. And this is all roughly 20 minutes after they land on the island. We watch the brontosaurus on the water's edge. Ooh, I'm thinking great barbecue. Like,
I love that shot.
You know, maybe little things like that. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah. When it's on the shore and it's going to die because it's going to be burned up. So
that was cool that it closed the chapter of the island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just that whole thing. All right, fine. But I wanted more of them on the island rescuing dinosaurs.
So did
before, I. Before the Pete Postlethwaite stand-in hunter, the guy who was the murderer in Silence of the Lambs, is now the great white hunter. He's playing that character from Lost World now. Oh, clever girl. So then we go to this mansion for the second movie. The first movie is over pretty quickly. So now it's haunted house with dinosaur movie with old man who dies in his bed and clone girl on the run and you know, so we've rescued Noah's Ark style, like one or two of each type of dinosaur and put them in pens in the basement of a mansion, which is pretty dumb in itself. So we're going to have an auction of dinosaurs. We've created another new super dinosaur on the ashes of the last super dinosaur that was crazy and got it. And hey, listen, I tell you, if we're going to train dinosaurs to kill, let's make it required that you have to use a gun with a laser sight in order to direct that dinosaur to kill. Why not just fire the trigger on the frickin' gun and kill the person with the gun? Why do you need to use the laser sight to direct the dinosaur to kill? That seems very complicated to me. When you've got a bullet that will do the same job, and the dinosaur is going to turn on you anyway.
You know what I mean? You're making good points.
It was dumb. It was like, okay, what are we gonna, somehow we have to show that you can use dinosaurs evil in an evil way. And we had our Donald Trump stand-in auctioneer with his hair flipped up.
Toby
and all that
Jones.
Yeah.
See, that's exactly why I can't, like, passionately argue it, you know?
What, there's maybe 12 species of dinosaurs in the basement, and somehow they're all let out into a corridor. What are we going to do? The gas is going to kill them or not. The frickin' dinosaurs are animals that hate each other, stuck in a corridor. They would be ripping each other to shreds. There would be all sorts of violence. So instead, they're just sitting there like, what are we going to do? Are they going to let us out? Are we going to go? They're just saying, and the little girl's, oh, look, a giant red frickin', we can't press the giant red button. You know, so sure enough, someone presses the giant red button, and the dinosaurs get out. So the 12 or 15 dinosaurs are out in the world, in which they will be killed within days, would be any natural response. As soon as a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex shows up in an area, they'll be out there with the bazookas and whatnot to blow it apart. Like, the National Guard will be called in, and the thing can't reproduce. It can't do anything. Those dinosaurs are dead. Or if they're peaceful dinosaurs, they'll eventually die out because they can't reproduce. They have nothing to mate with. Mm. You know, is a brontosaurus going to mount an elephant and have babies? I don't think so. It's basically going to die out. Aside from a couple of pterodons who are going to eat and be happy in Las Vegas. But the Russians got away with a suitcase full of dino DNA, so maybe they can make, maybe the next movie will be instead the Russian dinosaurs of Cyprus or something like that, where they've created raptors to do certain things. Because the rest of them are done. They're toast. They're not going to survive in this world. They can't adapt. They can't reproduce themselves. You know, they're done.
It's going to be a short third one, then.
It will be very short.
Right, but somehow we'll have, you know, I mean, they could live a long time, but I'm assuming that someone will take a shotgun and blow the head off a raptor that's eating the chickens in the farm. You know, like...
dogs. I've explained this already.
So dumb. I mean, like, and we trotted Jeff Goldblum out of retirement to do his character out of retirement to make
cha-ching.
A speech before Congress.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, everyone thought he was in the film in some capacity, but he's really just there to lecture us on dinosaurs should have died.
And it just bookends the movie with exposition.
Mm-hmm. So dumb. Dumb movie. And at least now they have a kid. They hate each other. They have no chemistry, and now they have a clone child to raise. So everyone ended in a happy world, a happy place.
Hey, Kevin, I have a great idea.
Yeah.
Maybe we could set up Bob with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Why?
Then they can help raise that kid.
Well, I'm thinking the next film we'll have to bring Alan Grant out to rescue someone being chased by dinosaurs.
Okay.
So we can remake Jurassic Park 3.
That's true. Yeah.
So we can call it Jurassic World 3, Alan Grant comes back. Or something like that. And he's now like an old man. And he's like, oh, I remember dinosaurs. They're a bad idea.
Okay.
You know, like, we've got to stop the, he's, maybe he's being hunted by Russian dinosaurs that have been made in the lab.
Okay. Are we moving along now? We got like 12 minutes left.
All right. So that was a fun movie.
Set It Up, starring Zoe Deltsch, Glenn Power, Lucy Liu, and Taye Diggs, a Netflix exclusive. What did you think of this one, Kevin?
I didn't watch it.
Good. Moving along. Dana, what did you think?
I liked it. Yeah. I liked it a lot better than The Kissing Booth, but it needed a lot more Titus from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. He was there for one scene.
And they got rid of Titus.
Creepy Tim. Everything about him was great, though. His scenes were great. His scene was great. But I like the chemistry between Zoe Deutsch and Glenn Powell, though.
Of course you did.
I like her.
This film was boring, Daniel.
I laughed. I thought it was pretty funny.
I didn't find it funny ever. I think we've seen this film before.
It's like Parent Trap at executives.
There you go. I've seen this film. My kid watches The Parent Trap. She must see it 25 times.
Well, I love The Parent Trap, so I guess this is why I like this.
Yeah, this was dumb. It's just another Netflix movie that does nothing for me. Now I realize why Lucy Liu and Taye Diggs have no career.
I wasn't terrible. Big on their character.
They are terrible. Lucy Liu is awful. Taye Diggs is awful. I actually preferred Glenn Power over Zoe Deutsch because I thought he was a better actor.
Yeah, have you watched, he's pretty funny on Scream Queens.
I've never seen Queens. My whole argument with this, you know, he's looking for the perfect girl. I mean, they set up that whole model thing for him. Like, we knew that was going to fail and he's going to be with Zoe Deutsch. It was so evident from the beginning that they were going to end up together.
Because they have their own meet cute of her running out of money. Pay for the food.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, I get that. I just didn't find this film interesting.
Okay.
I wanted more jokes. Something.
Yeah, I didn't love it, but I thought it was better than most of the Netflix movies I've seen.
Okay.
Bob, did you see it?
No, it's on Netflix.
Bob doesn't have Netflix. He doesn't
get anything. But I did see another Netflix. Have we reviewed The Kissing Booth yet?
No, that's next on our list.
Okay, I did see that one.
Okay, we're going to do that next. Relax.
All right. Okay, I'm relaxed.
I got to type it in. I think there should have been more kissing in that movie.
What's that?
I don't know. I just thought this movie dragged. It should have been better. The Kissing Booth. Oh. Because Kevin seems to want to jump to this movie quick.
Oh, one more thing about Set It Up, though. I like the sentiment like that the best friend says, like, oh, you love because and you, no, you like because and you love despite, like because of someone's, you like someone and then love because of despite their faults.
Okay.
Anyway. Kissing Booth. Sorry.
A high school student.
Kissing Booth.
I did give this to Bob to watch. A high school student is forced to confront her secret crush at the Kissing Booth. A movie built for Bob. Has a prom, a high school in teens. Joey King, Joel Courtney, and Jacob Elderi?
You gave this to me?
I did. It was in your pile. Should look at it occasionally. Well, I didn't watch it. Too bad for Bob. You know what? I like this film.
I was trying to catch up with other movies.
You know what, Dan? I'm going to give this film full credit. I think it tries hard.
Oh, I did not laugh once.
Oh, I didn't say it was funny.
Oh, okay.
But it tries.
For me, it's just, okay, I've seen this done so much better in Edge of 17.
Absolutely you have. Edge of 17 is a good film. This is not a good film.
No, this isn't.
Again, it's one of these Netflix movies you just watch because you have dishes to do. Or you have to vacuum your carpet.
You watch movies while you're vacuuming?
If they're this bad, yeah.
Okay, I got to shut that
off.
Come on, given the number of movies Simon watches, he has to be doing something at all times.
That's true.
When there's a movie playing.
I mean, I don't think I sat down and watched this film. I don't know. I actually think I fold laundry during this one. It's Joey King's my main issue. She tries really hard every movie to convince me of something. And I'm like, you're terrible.
Bless her.
This had a Disney Hannah Montana
yes.
kind of quality to it because.
Absolutely.
She's trying too hard. She's the plucky star of this great movie about where she's got two, like it's like the Jonas Brothers are live next door.
Yeah,
and she's one of them is her best friend, and the other is the hunky older brother who's a jerk to her.
There is no way she could get that guy.
No, there's absolutely no way he would be interested in her in any way.
I mean, he looks 25. She looks 15.
She looks 12.
Right.
Like, you should be walking around going, am I allowed to play Fortnite this week?
Like, oh, I'm back from summer vacation, and now I have boobs.
Ooh, look at that.
You know, it was cute, the idea of the kissing booth and them coming together and that they raised a lot of money in the end, that it was a good idea. You know, it was not well executed. It's a filler. It's not a great movie.
I thought, like, the friend chemistry between, like, King and Court and Joel Courtney was pretty good. That was, like, the only, like, aspect I was like, okay, this is all right, I guess. And, like, the whole falling out was fine. But, yeah, it was just not a good movie. I don't know. And then, yeah, like, the brother's just, like, a Jared Padalecki type.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah.
He has no personality whatsoever.
No.
He's just a hunk.
Yeah.
He's actually younger than the, like, in real life, he's younger than Joel Courtney, which is kind of funny, even though he looks like he's 25.
All good. What's up next? Are we going
to... Did Bob see this one?
No, Bob didn't watch it, even though he had it sitting in his pile. He probably missed...
Bob, this movie was made for you.
Uh-huh.
You should watch it.
I was doing a binge watch of Death of Superman, Batman Ninja, and Keeping Mum.
Well, I think we've already reviewed Batman Ninja, so...
We have.
Oh.
Yeah, but I wanted to see what it was like.
You had plenty of time to watch it before the show.
And Kissing Booth is like a John Hughes checklist, because it has, like, Molly Ringwald and the Don't You Forget About Me song.
Don't you forget about me.
Oh, yeah.
There for, like, two scenes.
Are we going to Chappaquiddick or Death or Terminal?
Let's do Chappaquiddick.
Okay, Chappaquiddick, starring that thespian Jason Clark, Kate Mara, Ed Helms, Bruce Dern, Jim Gaffigan, Olivia Thirby, Clancy Brown, who I love, Taylor Nichols, and a bunch of people I don't care about. Okay,
and,
Bob, your first.
Did you mention the comedian?
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah,
okay. Bob, what did you think of Chappaquiddick?
It was too slow. It was slow moving. Like, I wanted to like it because it was part of history, but, like, it was that part of history that, and I wanted to like it, but I couldn't bring myself to like it. It was slow.
Okay. You got anything else to say? It was too slow. How was he acting?
Slow.
Okay. Dan, what did you think of Chappaquiddick?
I just watched it a little bit ago, but I liked it, actually. It is a slow-moving movie, but I love learning about these little pieces of history that are overshadowed by such a huge event, like Armstrong walking on the moon. And because, the story is about – should I spoil the story? Or?
Well, it's all
Ted,
it's basic.
Well, people know it anyway. Sorry, yeah. It's Ted Kennedy when he drove off a bridge on Chappaquiddick Island. In Martha's Vineyard, and
that's actually something I learned. I didn't know that was an island, Chappaquiddick.
Yeah, I guess so. Mary Jo Kopechne.
Kopechne, isn't it?
Kopechne
sounds like a Polish name.
Yeah,
either way.
Kopechne. But she either way, she drowns in the car, and he gets out fine. And yeah, he doesn't report it right away, and I don't know. I thought that was weird. He's just kind of like a weasel, but I think it's because his presidency was threatened and everything.
Yeah.
But I thought the acting was great. And, I thought the acting was really good. And I liked that he was like just searching for his father's approval because he's so overshadowed by all of one of his brothers. And I thought it was interesting.
Kevin?
I agree. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it because I really did not like Ted Kennedy in this movie. But it was an interesting story. And actually, there's always that question, why didn't Ted Kennedy follow in his brother's footsteps? He was set. He was a senator. I mean, he did try to run for president. What happened with Ted Kennedy? And this really is the incident that defines, it's a turning point for him. He will be headed towards the presidency, and then this happens, and he can't do it. He runs away from it. He uses it as an opportunity to run. But his behavior is so bizarre, where he runs from the police and then runs from the accident, and then he comes forward and then he admits, like, he's all ready to follow his father's orders to deny and say that he wasn't around. And then he stands up and he says, yeah, I did do it. I was there. It kills the opportunity for him to be president.
It does. I agree.
Yeah. But his behavior is just, it's bizarre. It's a confused, he's a messed up individual. Yeah. He probably was in shock. And, he leaves the poor girl to die, basically.
He does.
Did I misunderstand that they said it took like 20 minutes for the whole car to fill up with water?
They said it took longer, actually, so.
Yeah, because he could have just found a big rock and crashed in the window.
Yes.
He escaped. I think he did try to go in and open the door, and he gave up. And then, but for whatever reason, which I still wasn't really made clear by that film.
No, exactly.
How did he get clear, and how did she
It doesn't not? Show you. I just thought maybe he got the door open when it was going off and jumped out, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you can't really see. It was dark, so I don't think anybody knows. It just sort of happened.
No.
Maybe his door was not stuck, but then I don't know how why would he wouldn't just go back to that one.
I'm going to take a wild guess. He's on the bridge, and he goes off on her side. Okay? Mm-hmm. So maybe he hit something on her door to stop it from going out, like a pole or something. Do you know what I mean? A post, maybe. And I'm reaching here. I don't know. I'm not there. And that means her door can't open because it's been hit. His door, because he's driving, he's on the far side, he can get out and open his door.
Uh-huh. So why wouldn't he return to open his door?
I don't know.
And if he was in shock and doesn't remember it, I don't think anyone's going to ever know.
I don't think he does know. I think he was in shock. Maybe he hit his head. Maybe it just was all human reflex. I don't know.
Then everyone's saying, oh, you have a concussion.
I thought this film was well done. I thought the characterization was very well done. People look like they were supposed to. I didn't really find it that interesting. It was a little too slow for me. I more wanted to fast forward to the end to find out what happened.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I understand he was looking for people to like him. He wanted to do this, but from what I understood, he doesn't want to be president. I would totally take that away from here, that this was sort of his way to get out of it.
But he does end up running for president in 1980.
But that's a long time away. That's, 8 years later?
Or he seeks 11. Leadership.
11 years
later. This is 69.
So maybe they kind of convinced him to do it. He's like, okay, I guess I'll do it now.
But you know what? He was a leader in Congress for another 25 years.
Yes.
You know, after this, or more than that, 35 years.
Yes.
He died in 2008 or 2009, I believe.
Correct.
Right. And this is a story that could not have been told while he was alive.
That is very true.
Because it kind of is a character assassination piece, in a sense.
Yeah.
He's still a leader. He's still a politician. But, if the message is the politicians are human and screwed up like the rest of us, I'm not sure what the point of the film was.
I agree.
That's a good point, though, because, like that monologue, well, that dialogue between him and Joey, played by Elle at Helms, is really good, too. I thought that was interesting, always saying, oh, we all have flaws. And he's like, oh, like Moses had a temper. And then Joey says, Moses didn't leave a girl to drown on the bottom of the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good line.
Actually, the only character I liked in the film was the Ed Helms character.
Yeah, because he wanted to do the right thing, but and
he walks away from them all at the end.
Yeah. And I think he was the one who had was the most sane for doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was gonna say something, I forget.
Okay. So I don't know, Simon. You've given your review of this, right?
I have. It was like I said. I think I gave it a 4 or 5. Just didn't do anything. I have nothing to say about it because there is anything to say.
I remember what I was gonna say though.
You know, it was nice to know something I didn't know, but I feel bad for the woman because I don't think she really gets anything going for her in the film. Like, you know, like, it's about...
She dies early on, right?
She dies early on. We don't really know much about her. We know she has parents. Ted Kennedy was having an affair with her. That's about all I know about her.
Mm-hmm.
Did she get a park named after her or anything? Like, who knows?
Yeah, and, like, the Ted Kennedy character is, like, so childish, too. Like, blaming Ed Helms' character for, he should have known to call it in when the cops didn't show up.
That was ridiculous. Like, Ted, what? You gotta phone it in yourself.
Yeah. And he just thinks, oh, like, I'm the black sheep of the family. Everyone take care of me. It's kind of like, you're kind of a little bitch, dude.
Okay. We're hitting the limit, guys. We're already 4 minutes over. What do you guys want to do? One more or no?
We can save for if you want, unless you want to do Death of Superman and round it off.
Okay, then, okay, that's fine. Let's do Death of Superman. If you do it about 6 to 7 minutes, we'll be fine.
All right,
have to cut it off.
So Death of Superman is an animated film that actually hasn't been released, but we were shown an early copy of the film.
It comes out on July 25th, right?
Yeah, it comes out this week. So we were given an advanced copy for a review.
Jerry O'Connell, Rebecca Romijn, Ruth Wilson, Rain Wilson, Rosario Dawson, Nelson Fillion, and Chet.
So in 1993, DC published a series called like a tie-in comic through all their Superman titles called The Death of Superman, which basically this creature named Doomsday is released and nobody can stop it, and Superman in the end has a big slugfest with it and sacrifices his life to kill the monster. And so now we have a New 52 / DC Animated Universe version of those events where the Doomsday monster comes from space. He takes on the Justice League and wipes the floor with them. Eventually has a big fight with Superman, and Superman dies. that's the movie. That's the movie, and at the end we're left, because there's going to be a part two with other Supermen showing up, potential Supermen. Yep. So okay. I thought the acting was fine. It fit in well with the other movies. I actually thought the animation got better.
I agree.
As the film progressed.
Yes.
I think they were actually really putting a lot into the big Doomsday fight.
They were.
And yeah, that looked good.
The Justice League looked great. The stuff beforehand was kind of meh. But even, like, Wonder Woman, like, the DC animated movies lately, Wonder Woman's got, like, a ponytail and all that stuff. Her hair is loose. She's fighting like crazy. I like this version of Wonder Woman. I liked Hawkman. I liked John. I liked all sorts of different characters. I thought it was well done. I thought it was well acted. And you know, I think it's one of the better animated films that they've done.
I have to say, this is the first animated film I haven't seen in a while I've enjoyed.
Oh.
I absolutely love this film. It's probably, I'm so strong in the voice acting. I liked the storyline. I liked it when it came out. I thought it translated really well to the screen.
Yep.
I thought it had nice depth to it. I'm looking forward to the next one. I like the introduction of the next four characters to it. Really, really like this one.
For me, it's like we've seen this story before, though, in Batman versus Superman. So that's kind of why, like that's why
There was also another Death of Superman one that sort of disappears into nothingness.
This is
there was a Superman Doomsday direct-to-video movie that came out a few years ago, which is essentially the same story, but I think he beats Doomsday at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't die.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's when he dies.
Well, in theory, until we find out what happens in the second one.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman stole quite liberally from the story.
Oh, okay.
And in some ways, too, like aspects were in Superman Returns.
I haven't seen that one.
The Bryan Singer movie. I mean, not that he fights Doomsday, but that he dies.
Okay.
And the world reacts. I don't know. I think as far as these movies go, it's a great adaptation, despite its new 52 elements at the beginning. I liked Superman in this movie. He's Superman. He behaves like Superman.
Best representation of Superman in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree.
I find Superman boring.
So do I. I hate Superman. Nobody hates him more than me, but I like this movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jerry O'Connell was good, though. And I thought it was kind of funny that he stole a line from one of the Fast and Furious movies. Like, when she's like, oh, are you going to wait for the cavalry? I am the cavalry.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
It works better here, though, but I thought it was kind of cheesy because they stole it from that. Did anyone find Rainn Wilson as Lex Luthor distracting?
No.
Because he's Dwight on The Office?
I hate The Office, so I've never watched it. So.
Oh, okay, so I love The Office, so that was distracting for me.
No, I thought he worked well. I love his Luthor. It was perfect.
Yeah, no, I like that. He thinks, you know, Luthor thinks he's going to save the day, and he gets his ass kicked.
Yep.
That is something Dwight would do. Thinking that he'd save the day and then get his ass kicked. So, that's fair.
And then Luthor sort of left in a leadership position at the end. Now, within a world without Superman, Lex Luthor steps up to the plate.
He does.
Yep.
True.
So, yeah, I mean, so we'll see, obviously, the four, the Eradicator, the new Superboy, the Steel.
Supergirl?
And then is Supergirl in this? I don't know if she's in the next one. I think she it's the other one would be
Opposite
Hank,
Superman?
What's that? The Cyborg Superman.
Yeah, what's it called? Composite Superman or something? Or is that something else I'm thinking of?
No, that's Cyborg. Something else.
It was Cyborg Superman.
Okay.
Yeah. Cyborg Superman, Eradicator, Superboy, and Steel.
Yeah.
But they all claim to be Superman when they at the beginning. So the question and the big mystery is which one of them is actually Superman? Because Cyborg Superman looks like him, and Eradicator actually looks like him as well. Superboy is obviously younger, and Steel is encased in armor. So that was the big mystery in the comic. It went without Superman was. Who are these characters, and is one of them actually Superman or not?
Okay, are we good? Is that it?
They also had the construction of the North Pole, the fortress, Solitude. It at the end there.
Yeah.
Now I don't know. I agree with the three of you that I really liked it. It was really well done.
Yeah, I thought
cool.
It was.
Did anybody buy anything before we go?
Nope.
No?
I did not.
Kevin?
No, did you buy anything?
No, I didn't buy anything.
I picked up Streets of Fire, which I hope we'll review in the next one.
Ah, crap. I meant to watch that for you this week. Yeah,
Michael Perry, A. Diane Lane, and what's his name? Norman Osborn.
No.
Willem Dafoe.
Okay.
And then I also, for $5 on digital, I picked up Die Hard.
Great.
Watched that this afternoon.
Still a fantastic movie.
Mm. And that's it. That's all I bought.
Okay. If they make it.
Simon forces us to watch it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
To contact us, please email us at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.